It's Monday, and it's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. What a pleasure to have you back to the microphone, dear. It's time for Chasing the Word.
I love it. I'm glad to be back.
We're wrapping up chapter 3 of John in our dynamic gospel series. Leaping now out of that center point, kind of the trampoline for me of the entire Bible, John 3:16 through 21, where Jesus lays it out, makes it plain, doesn't hold back whatsoever. He says, I'm the guy, I'm the Son of Man. Mm-hmm. He's addressing somebody who wants to know, what are you about, what are you doing, and what comes next? Nicodemus didn't hold back his questions. Jesus did not hold back his answers, right, which we greatly benefit from. Mm-hmm. So we're going to finish off the rest of the chapter now, starting at verse 22, where there's a new episode here about John the Baptist.
Right. We get back to John the Baptist, who is baptizing again and spreading the news of Jesus. Verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, where he spent time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. People were coming and being baptized, since John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a religious leader about purification. So they came to John and said, Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing and everyone is flocking to him. John responded, No one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom. But the groom's friend, who stands by and listens for him, rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth is earthly and speaks in earthly terms. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, yet no one accepts his testimony. The one who has accepted his testimony has affirmed that God is true, for God sent him, and he speaks God's words since he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him.
End of chapter 3. You know, it's interesting, since we wrapped up the red letters last week, this episode here, we read it as if Jesus was saying these things. It's not Jesus.
Right.
This is John the Baptist speaking this. And he's making a clear delineation between his earthliness compared to the divinity, the divineness of the one he's called to announce. He's admitting it. I only have so much perspective, but he has all. And he says twice in this story, he is above all. The first time he's talking about being above people, as if having authority. He's the one that can actually say, I know what heaven's like because I come from heaven. The second time, he says he's above all, and he talks about the rules, the way the law is given to man. So one, he's above all people, and secondly, he's above all law. He is supreme. Both things are essential to understanding the authority of Jesus in the way he's going to live out his life. He has the freedom, because he's above all people, to offer himself up. But he's also the one that wrote the law. The law flows from him. So as he makes judgments, as he says, this is what the law means, he has that authority as well. He is Logos. He is the Word. He is the final Word.
And John restates John 3:16, basically, at the very end here. And he says, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. That's basically what Jesus told Nicodemus right before this. So we see that the Spirit is bearing witness through the words of John as well to these people that are at the baptismal.
He's playing himself down quite a bit. He's known as being famous for his righteousness, for his passion, for his zealotry, for the things of God. And yet he keeps talking himself down and always talking Jesus up. And he doesn't stop. Once it's clear to him that, yes, Jesus, in fact, is the one, It's almost like a burden's off his shoulders.
Right.
He can say, oh, it's not me anymore. People can stop looking to me mm-hmm. and expecting me to do these great things.
Yeah, I've made that clear. I'm not the guy.
I'm pointing to the one, but I'm telling you, he's the one.
Right.
Not just that it's no longer my responsibility.
Well, it seems like his disciples are a little jealous that people are flocking to Jesus.
Yeah.
And they come to John, maybe try and, in some ways, to get John a little upset. Hey, Rabbi, the one that you told us about is over here and they're
Johnny
baptizing.
Come lately.
Yeah, and people are flocking to him. And I love John's response. He says, no one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him from heaven. So he's saying, everything that I have, everything that I do, everything about me is a gift from heaven. Mm-hmm. And you need to live that way too.
I think he's also suggesting in the big picture here that Jesus himself is bringing heaven to earth. I get my gifts because of Jesus.
Mm.
That's what he's implying here. But I think it's hard to put all that theology together in one sentence.
Right.
But he tells him everything he can in the situation he is.
He continues to say that he was sent ahead. We read about that at the beginning of the book of John, where he says, this is the voice crying in the wilderness. This is the one sent before the bridegroom. And then John goes on to say, you know, the groom gets the bride. Mm-hmm. But the best man or his friends are the ones so happy for him. And they're shouting the news. Look what's happening. The groom is here and the bride gets ready. And now we're going to have a big party. We're going to have a feast. John is alluding to that. He's not even alluding to that. He's speaking that very plainly. This is the guy that is the groom. And he's come to get his bride. And so let's have a party. Let's celebrate this.
So if anything, he takes the place of honor of being the master of ceremonies,
mm-hmm.
the best man. And he's admitting to the fact that he has a special role to play. He's not saying, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply defining what that role is. And in so doing, he also, I guess, aspires to and discloses what his expectations are for being in the story.
Mm-hmm.
What's the role he's playing? Why is he glad he's playing it? When you think about people that are honored by their best friend to say, you be my best man mm-hmm. in my wedding. Obviously, the day is not going to be about the best man, but what an honor it is
yeah.
when someone considers you best friend enough to say, I want you there. I want you running the party.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be the one that announces the entrance of the bridegroom and kicks off the celebration.
Yeah.
You know, we've been to a number of weddings in the past couple of years. Our daughter was married a couple of years ago herself. And just the energy and the passion that our son-in-law's best man brought to
right.
the occasion was infectious.
It was.
He chose him not just because he could do the job well, because he really was his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And in so doing, we got to see both of them shine in their own ways during that celebration. So John is stepping up and saying, yep, I'm the guy that's going to throw the party now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about denying yourself. It's
mm-hmm.
about celebrating him.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing your place within the story is freeing.
Mm, absolutely.
Knowing that you're part of this party, you're an essential part of this party, makes it okay to not be at the center of attention the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that John the Baptist can be narcissistic in this story because he doesn't set himself up to be that way, and he's never demanded people to worship him. He doesn't look the part anyway. He's just mm-hmm. a curiosity. He's a wild man in the desert. But people are still drawn to him because of that passionate pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't let that become a cloud or a cover or to obfuscate what his real purpose is. It's mm-hmm. always been and always will be to point the way to the one.
Well, I think his mantra, if you will, throughout his public ministry was summed up in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good way for us to live.
Now, when Jesus is on the scene, that makes sense. To say he must increase and I must decrease means that we're seeing both of them now.
Yeah.
You know, the whole first part of John's ministry, it was all about prepare ye the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we would think of John the Baptist in one sentence. But after Jesus shows up, there's still an important thing to be done. And this is what this story is about.
Mm-hmm.
I must decrease, he must increase. And we get to join in that same kind of role the rest of our lives too, if we want to.
Mm-hmm.
That the way we live, the things we share, the things that we value, the way we treat others, the way we call to them, ought to be always, in every way, pointing to Jesus somehow,
mm-hmm.
not screaming it, but like St. Francis of Assisi was famous for saying, in all things proclaim the gospel. If necessary, use words.
Right.
There's a zillion of us who can proclaim the gospel by everything that flows out of us. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruit that we grow, not fruit that we try to force, but by the fruit that God actually lets us hold to
mm-hmm.
bear on our own limbs and to give away freely to feed others. When we know the fruit of God, the fruit of his Spirit is flowing through us and feeding others.
Mm, yeah.
We're fulfilling the same role that John's fulfilling here by mm-hmm. exemplifying this is what great joy is like. The bridegroom is here. We can see him.
Yeah.
Let's not miss the party. Friends, for almost 78 years now, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. A quick reminder that it's your generosity and support that make Compassion Radio possible. Especially in a year like this, we need your vote of support. Call 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or give online at CompassionRadio.com in order to keep this program coming to you each day. We have a very special thank you for your generous support to keep this ministry on the air and in the field. It's a fresh take on that amazing story of the life of Jesus, written by the Apostle John. We're calling it the Dynamic Gospel for a lot of reasons, and I'd love to send you one if you ask for it. Just let us know when you contact us today with your gift. God bless you and your growing faith in 2021. And now back to our new discussion on the book of John in our Dynamic Gospel Chasing the Word series.
Let's turn to the Dynamic Gospel now and read the same passage from there.
Here's the back half of chapter 3 of John, starting at verse 22. After this important chapter in the life of Jesus, referring to Nicodemus and his discussion with him, he and his students worked their way through the region of Judea, stopping every day to share the truth with the people. They baptized all who responded to the teaching and miracles. The prophet John was also in the area baptizing listeners of his message who wanted to start their lives over. He did this at Aenon, where there was a large pool suited to the purpose. This was not long before John was arrested and thrown into prison. His teaching got him in trouble with the religious authorities again, and a dispute arose among them about who was baptizing whom and why, and what should be done about it. So the religious bosses made the trek one more time out to where John was doing his work. They said, "Okay, teacher, we hear someone you baptized earlier across the Jordan is now doing the same thing, and everyone's flocking to him. Don't you have a problem with him usurping your ministry?" John was unmoved by their barbs. "I can't stand up and say anything with authority unless heaven itself puts its stamp of approval on it. So let's recap. Didn't I already tell you that I'm no Messiah? I was simply commissioned to be the advance man. The one has now arrived. I'm just the warm-up. The groom gets the bride. If anything, you might call me the best man. Now the groom is speaking up for his bride, and it makes me proud. There's a wedding about to take place, and that fills me with joy. I couldn't ask for more. It was bound to happen. His ministry's on the rise. I'm on my way out. And he's not just coming up. He's already over all. If he was just another earthly teacher, his message wouldn't be more than earthly wisdom. But there's heaven in his words. He makes it real. He speaks firsthand of the things of heaven. He doesn't need anyone else to vouch for his authority. Anyone who accepts his message knows full well that it's the truth and gets God's seal of approval. God sent him, and he speaks God's words. And God isn't being stingy about it. His spirit pours out of him constantly. You can see how much God loves this son of his. There's nothing he's holding back. The son's hand is full of good things to share. The one who takes it all in, the one who acts on his belief, doesn't have to wait for eternal life. It's already begun. Yet the one who stubbornly resists what the son has to say won't be seeing any of the good stuff. He won't comprehend or experience a drop of it. This kind of willful ignorance distorts the mind and disgusts God.
In the Dynamic Gospel, it seems that John the Baptist is way more adamant than he did in the translation that I read. But I think I think it's true. I think he probably was adamant about what he was saying because, you know, I've already told you this. I am not the guy. I'm not the Messiah. I am just his messenger. I'm the one who wants you to know about him. I want to celebrate him. I want to celebrate the groom. And it sounds like John was getting a little frustrated with having to repeat himself in his message.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm not the Messiah.
Yeah.
I get the impression, too, that because there's so much love going on, so much adoration between these guys, Jesus really loves John.
Mm-hmm.
We get the impression that because they're cousins, they may have known each other when they were younger. They may have played together as boys. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But At any rate, the two have profound respect for each other.
Yeah.
I don't see John, no matter how urgent or passionate or zealous his preaching is, he never seems to me to be an angry guy.
Mm.
I mean, crazy maybe mm-hmm. to people's first impressions. But he's excited about
yeah.
what's coming.
Yeah.
And he's even more excited when it's revealed. Obviously, he's living on a different plane as well. His head is in the heavens most of the time.
Yeah.
So when he sees things, he's seeing spiritual things like the prophets of old did.
Right.
Elijah and Elisha seeing the heavenlies, the angels coming and going, surrounding them at different times. They just had an eye for things that were there but were not visible to the average man.
Mm.
John seemed to have that spirit on him too.
I've often wondered why John didn't join the group and follow Jesus as a disciple.
I think he knew full well what his calling was. He's telling the religious leaders there what's coming next. I'm on my way out.
Mm.
My job is about wrapped up. And perhaps he's seen visions of what's coming with his imprisonment. I don't know.
Mm.
But I think he knows exactly where he needed to be, and it was not following Jesus around.
Just getting the people ready as Jesus walked through the communities.
And maybe like a bright flame burning out quickly, he sees himself as being a short ministry.
Mm.
Maybe like Jesus knows it's coming quickly. He's not going to be with the people very long, but the work will be done.
Right.
You often wonder if God had had a different pace, if he had decided to let Jesus grow old and die as an older man on this earth, how different we might perceive him. I don't know. But it seems just on the calendar, 3 years is a flash.
Mm-hmm.
And John the Baptist wasn't on the scene much earlier than Jesus rising up to his ministry either. Obviously, God was urgent.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that Jesus is on the scene, he doesn't waste time.
Yeah, the appointed time was there.
The chronos becomes kairos, the big event.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish you could sit down with these guys and hear them talk to each other, how they interacted. What was the smile like on their face? How passionate were they? How much of the personality can we really deduce from the words as written here
mm-hmm.
is the challenge.
Yeah.
But I think that the story of understanding who they are as the men and women who appear in these pages is really important to pray through. We'll find ourselves in the story if we see ourselves as one of those who could have been reached by Jesus,
yeah.
who could have been asked by him, could have been pursued by him, could have been loved by him in his earthly form and not some mystical one-off kind of way where we hope the Spirit will show us how much he loves us.
Mm.
We do have that yeah. mystery with us in our generation. These people did not. They had both. They had years with Jesus on this earth, and they had the rest of their lives to live it out and experience that next wave of understanding and deepening, which was the Spirit of God indwelling them.
I think, too, how these people may have responded to God's word through Jesus.
Hmm.
I mean, John the Baptist tells us he is actually speaking the words of God.
Yeah.
You know, he makes that point here at the end of the chapter, and he says, "The one I've been telling you about has seen the Father. He's been there. He's been with the Father. He knows him on a face-to-face, personal level.
Yeah.
And he's speaking his words. He is telling us exactly what the Father wants him to tell us. I just wonder, did they not get it until the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost? Or did they get a glimpse of it? John the Baptist got it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it. It was so clear to him. But I just think, oh, those around him, did they see that too? And did they then remember John's words later on? You know, we should have been paying closer attention.
Well, if those words ended up in this book right here, I'm sure they remembered it.
They did.
This is one guy revealing what he knows to be true. He's a first-person witness in some ways to the majesty of Jesus.
Right.
Later, the apostles together say, we were eyewitnesses to his majesty,
mm-hmm.
of his majesty. We can tell you what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus. And now that the Spirit has indwelled us, we can speak even more and more in depth about what it's like to know the majesty and presence of God himself in our lives and now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're speaking of the past, the present, and the future in that statement. We are eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Mm.
It is not a bad thing for us to desire that now. Not that we're trying to prove to ourselves that God is real, but just we want to know him better.
Right.
It's a noble question, pursuit, and desire. And I don't think we pray that way as much anymore because we're almost kind of afraid of being let down, that God's not going to let us
mm-hmm.
know him that way.
Yeah.
So I would encourage those who are needing a touch from the Lord, we might say in modern English, don't be afraid to ask God to show up in a way that you can perceive.
Well, and we need to release our expectations of what we think God's voice sounds like
yeah.
or what we think we need from God or deserve.
Yeah. And quit telling God what to do to make it real for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, I think we need to be brave enough to risk prayers that might sound silly once they're out of our lips, but at least are honest. Mm. And I would rather start with prayers that are honest than ones that are very pretty and well poised, but don't really tell what's on our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Well, John says, if we'll listen, he reveals the mysteries of the kingdom to us. Our ears have got to be tuned to that. Yeah. We have to be tuned to hear those mysteries from the Spirit of God.
And allow the mysteries to become something that are not hidden anymore. Mm. A great mystery for me now about God would be something like, I don't know how he's doing this, but man, he is doing it.
Right.
It's not that I wonder if he can. I wonder more when I see his hand at work, how? Mm-hmm. How did he pull that off? Or what's he up to? What's the next thing? Mm-hmm. And I'd love to push on to the next mystery, that he's going to be excited to see us pursue him and discover what he's up to. Mm. He doesn't want to stay a mystery forever. But some things about him, because he's so far beyond us, will always remain mysterious. That does not mean he's not knowable. And that's what I love about the scene. John says, I've seen him. I know who he is. I'm telling you who he is. He's basically upping our expectations now, saying, you can do this too. You can know him this way. Mm-hmm. He's not saying it here, but I believe it. That's his heart. He's saying, pursue him like I have. Mm-hmm. I got to go down. I got to exit the stage. He takes center stage from here on. Mm-hmm. But this is my final word on the matter.
Yeah.
And in John's gospel, he says this is his soliloquy. This is his last statement, his will and testament, mm-hmm. as the prophet who introduced Jesus as the Messiah.
And he's setting the stage for a big celebration.
And he's doing it in a way that we can understand and access. I get this analogy. I get this metaphor. Ah, that's what John was all about. He's not quibbling here. He's not leaving us with any doubts whatsoever. He's saying Jesus
is
the guy. Thanks so much for joining us on this edition of Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word series. We're in the Dynamic Gospel, and of course, I want to remind people that the Dynamic Gospel, as we're studying it, is available chapter by chapter in our study guides online in each of our podcast pages for this series, and the book itself, the complete Gospel of John in contemporary English called The Dynamic Gospel, is available for your support of Compassion Radio. We'd love to hear from you so we can send you your own copy today.
There is a river of gladness pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness, and all of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Receiving nothing but goodness, I'm tested and tasting your grace. And I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God, it gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God, it pulls me up higher. This will is stronger, that's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus, how could I want more? I'm undone by want more. I've got Jesus, how could I want more? I've got Jesus, how could I want more?
There's no doubt that trying times bring out the best and the worst in mankind. I'm praying that God will bring out the very best of Him in you today. At CompassionRadio.com, you'll find more information about the projects we do, the places we go, and the ways you can get involved today. That's CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for standing with Compassion Radio in times like this. I think you know that we're a unique voice in Christian radio. Your generosity and your faith in us make it possible for us to continue doing what we do each and every day. Please call us today to let us know you're standing with us. For your gift of support this month, I'd love to send you a copy of our special edition of The Dynamic Gospel that we're highlighting in this series. It's a very fresh and motivational take on this beloved gospel. See this treasure book with new eyes. We're glad to offer it to you, and it's only available through Compassion Radio. Call us today at 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.